Hello, you're listening to The Rule of Three. I'm Tim Slagle, and we got Brian Miller on the other side.
Indeed, I like the energy in that intro. I like it.
Yeah, I'm trying to make it sound radio.
Yeah, no, I dig it. You know what the kids love? Radio.
Did I do this joke last week? I can't remember. It's one of the, is that I sell CDs.
No, you didn't.
And after the show, and the way I pitch them now is if any of you young folk just got your dead grandmother's car and you wonder what that slot is above the clock.
Oh, that is so true.
You can, you'll be surprised what that slot can do, and you need one of these to try it out.
Yeah, it's like magically it fits.
And speaking of grandparents and technology, is I was visiting my mom last week, and she has an iMac that that I can, for some reason I cannot believe is a 2008 iMac. I remember going shopping for that with her and installing it, and you know, at the time it was, you know, it was top of the line.
Sure.
But now it's just it's just where you go if you want to see beach balls spin.
You really like color wheels.
Yeah, because it is running painfully slow, and I blame her, because I told her, you know, from the time we got it, is shut off that automatic upgrade thing.
Yes.
Because it is my belief that Apple wants you to upgrade your computer to the point where it doesn't work anymore and you got to buy a new one.
I completely agree with that. And I like Apple overall. But yeah, because if you I don't tend to upgrade stuff, and most of my biggest problems happen when I finally cave in to their upgrades. But if you kind of leave it alone and leave it with its original, mostly original versions of its programs, they'll hum for a long time.
Oh, are you kidding? I've still got a Mac SE with a dual floppy drive that can run Netscape 1.0.
And it probably runs it pretty well, right?
Yeah, you can't really do much with Netscape 1.0, but danged if it don't run on there. So, I think it's also the ultimate in irony that that I have a VoIP phone now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that is?
No.
I forgot. Yeah, I forgot. Your age is a disguise.
Yes, it is. I'm the
old. I automatically assume you know tech, and I forget. No, you don't know tech.
Especially with my glasses and everything, I really look like I should know. People get like disgusted with me sometimes.
VoIP is a phone that actually just goes over the internet rather than cable.
Oh, okay, sure.
So what's really funny is, so when you do dial up on a VoIP, your modem has to take the computer and then turn it into a computer signal that goes into a phone that turns into a computer signal that then zips over a fiber optic cable, and then eventually hits copper wire somewhere in grandma's house.
Wow.
That make any sense? Did
a
I just,
little bit. No. Well, I mean, no. All tech things sound like magic to me. Like, the only difference between a tech manual and an Aleister Crowley book is the Aleister Crowley book has a better cover. But it all sounds like spells and incantations to me. If you told me you had to make like a virgin girl slice her hand over your phone and bleed on it a little bit to make long distance calls, they'd be like, "Well, that's how they work, you know, technology."
Yeah, it's that line from Breaking Bad that I just loved, is when he's talking to what's his face, the chemist. That what's his face had to, boy, my
Walter White.
I could use a RAM upgrade.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, chemistry for me was always like magic. And then Walter White goes, no, it is magic.
Nice. Yeah.
And I kind of thought the same thing. My dad used to work for the phone company, and he used to, after hours sometimes, because they had a copy machine. And it was the one at the drugstore was 50 cents, which, you know, was a lot of money back in those days. And the one at the phone company was free. So we'd always go to the phone company anytime we had to make copies. And he dragged me into the phone company after hours, and it was just back then. This was before transistors or integrated circuits or anything. It was all mechanical. Back when I was a kid, the phone company was entirely mechanical, and just the clicks and the clacks and the it was just this wonderful steampunk experience that you would walk through these aisles of these clicking sparking relays, and just listening to people dialing their phones. It was and again, I was just saying, it just felt like magic.
In a weird way, doesn't, when you think back on some of that older stuff, doesn't it somehow seem more high tech than what we have now in some like visceral way, you know? Because now everything's so quiet that like you don't, I mean, I guess that is the magic now, but you know, the old stuff, it's like you could really see it working.
Yeah. Now it's, I mean, there's chips in everything that you don't realize. Cars, like the car window, when you would put down an electric car window in the early days, you know, and this is, I'm talking like up until like 5-10 years ago.
Yeah.
Is you would have a wire going from the battery to the switch, and then the other end of the switch, the wire went from the switch to the motor.
Right. Teeny little motor. Yep.
The little motor. And then the other end of the motor, the wire would go to the battery. So you'd push the switch, you'd finish the circuit, the window would go down. Do you realize that car windows no longer work like that?
It never even occurred to me. But so now, are you sending a signal to a computer that lowers the window?
Yes. Is that each window has its own a local internet address.
Wow.
And there's a little chip in there. And when you push the down signal, it sends a little message to the computer saying, you know, this window would like to go down. Then the computer decides whether the window should go down, and then sends another internet message, local, you know, network message to the window motor to go down.
And yet, when it snows and ice is on my window, I got to flip my library card over sideways and scrape that crap off just like they did 200 years ago with like some birch bark or something. It's like, yeah, I'm really impressed that my window rolls itself down. How about you have something that de-ices my friggin' window in less than 4 hours while I'm sitting here waiting to leave?
So anyway, so here's the spooky thing. I just realized how long we've been obsessing on this. Here's the spooky thing. Mm-hmm. I was over at my mom's house trying to get her computer to go faster, and I had just talked to you last week.
Right.
After the show, and you said that your computer had slowed down in the past week.
Yeah, and kind of suddenly.
And I said, well, you probably need more RAM. And the reason why I said this was because like 2 days before, I had been talking to a buddy and with a third person who actually works as an Apple genius. And he said, you know, hey, by the way, my computer's running slow. And she goes, well, you should check the RAM. And he goes over and he checks it. And he's only got 2 gigs, which I didn't even think they made 2 gigs of RAM in a computer. So that's why I mentioned it to you. And then I look at my mom's computer and she's only got 2 gigs as well. And so these are all the same generation Mac. And they're all within the same week slowing down. And my mom said, well, it's that damn Apple. They're trying to make you get a new computer. And I wish I could think that she was just being old lady nuts.
It's not that far-fetched. It's really not.
Does Apple have a switch? Does Apple say, you know, we really, probably the best thing for my mom's computer was the fact that Apple scored record profits this quarter. Otherwise, they'd flick another switch and more computers would go down.
I don't think it has to even be quite so conscious, but it's like, even if it's sort of the implicit thing is, well, we'll just keep pushing these updates out and... on a short enough timeline, they're going to overrun the computer. They're going to become too much for the computer to handle.
That I know. That is the one thing that Steve Jobs learned from the General Motors story is what used to be called planned obsolescence and used to be derogatory is now called modernism.
Right. Yeah, because now it's pitched as like, well, you want to upgrade. But yeah, planned obsolescence is a little more frank description, I think.
It's exactly what it is, only it's not fins. It's now you can tag your folders.
Yeah, and oh, by the way, now that you can tag your folders, you're going to need a new computer. But enjoy and those tags.
If you want to continue listening to Rule of Three, you're going to have to catch us back on the other side.
See you next time.
Sometimes I give myself the creeps. Sometimes my mind plays tricks on me.
Welcome back to the Rule of Three with Tim Slagle, and I'm Brian Miller. And back on the second segment, we got some breaking news. It's interesting. It's Minnesota news, and you had not heard of this, correct, Tim?
No, I have not. I was not in Minnesota this week.
Yeah, it had some national attention, but it's really the biggest mystery in the state. Back in 1989, a young boy named Jacob Wetterling got kidnapped and disappeared and was never found. No evidence. They have no idea exactly what happened to him. It's a very, very frightening story of what happened. Talk about dating into 1989. He and a couple of other fellow, young kids, right around 10 or 11, were riding their bikes to a Tom Thumb to go rent a movie, to go rent a VHS disc or cassette. And
for those outside of Minnesota, a Tom Thumb.
Yes. A Tom Thumb is a little convenience store, and they have a little video section off to the side, kind of a gas station, grocery store. It's in a very small town.
Maybe. Yeah. If you're down in Iowa, maybe like a Casey's.
Yep. Exactly. Like a Casey's. And, this mysterious guy gets out of a van. He's wearing a mask and he makes all three boys lay down face down in a ditch. And then he asks them their age and he picks two of them and he tells them, start running into the woods. And they just, so he makes them, he just tells them, don't look back and run. And so they run and then no one ever seen him. And he leaves Jacob, he makes Jacob stay and then Jacob's never seen again.
Can I interrupt here for,
sure.
for it's, it seems almost, wrong, but, what were the ages?
Jacob was 11. And, fine, I've got the news story open here. The other kids were real close to the same. I think one was 9. It was his, a younger brother.
So it was like, they were like 9 and 8.
Yeah.
So Jacob was the oldest.
I think he was the oldest one. Yeah.
I'm trying to avoid making a joke here.
Yeah,
it's
very dark. But
he's not a complete sicko.
Well, they busted him for having they just found a suspect. That's the big breaking news. Is that after? I mean, this was the kind of the Lindbergh baby of Minnesota. It was just such a stark, frightening story. So intense. And so my wife, coming from these parts, remembers it very well. She was around the same age. It was a big deal. And then all of a sudden, this news breaks today that they have this suspect, this guy whose name – he has a Danny James Heinrich, which is a 52-year-old fella, was busted for child porn. I mean child porn, allegedly, I guess. And they found some DNA evidence in his house that may tie him to him, but he had been a prime suspect or a major suspect, I guess, earlier in the case. But they looked at a bunch of different people, and it was interesting. A lady named Tammy Hoag, who's a popular mystery writer, her first big book was a book called Night Sins, and it was a mystery thriller, very much based on the Wetterling case. I mean, just changed the names, but. And one of my wife and I's early dates, we realized we were both really into that book when we were younger. But of course, I didn't know, coming from Illinois, that it had a real life antecedent.
How long ago was this?
1989 was when it happened.
Wow.
So it's very long time ago. The 26-year-old mystery, basically. And so my wife was just floored when I emailed her and said, "Oh, they have a suspect." Because this is kind of her. I remember one time I asking my wife if she could find out exactly what happened to Jacob Wetterling or who killed Kennedy. She said, "I would find out what happened to Jacob Wetterling." Because it was such a kind of a, it was kind of more of a personal thing to her, and it kind of got me thinking about those mysteries, those things. Like, I've always actually been more interested in why Jack Ruby shot Oswald than I was in Oswald and Kennedy.
Yeah, that was that was interesting. My speculation on the Kennedy is that my favorite conspiracy is that Oswald acted alone from the book depository. Three shots hit nothing. A Secret Service agent running behind the motorcade.
Yes, I've heard this.
Here's the shots. Reaches for his service revolver, trips, revolver goes off.
Yep. There's a documentary that was made about that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my favorite one because it's government incompetence.
Well, what's interesting is I'm with you on that. I always like when certain stories, you know, the human mind wants to put these narratives that have a lot of purpose around things. And sometimes that may be the case, but a lot of times it's random, goofy stuff. And I think the guy tripping and falling kind of thing is kind of a perfect, you know, just stuff happens.
You know, I've never been asked to do it before. People have always, you know, tried to say, well, what about this? What about that? What about that? And usually my conspiracy fits everything, but nobody ever asked me, well, how does Jack Ruby fit into your conspiracy? Well, that's easy. He was paid by the government to shut up Oswald.
Sure. And that could be true based on a number of theories. You know, that could connect to a bunch of
things. Right, right. Because basically they didn't want Oswald on the stand going, I didn't hit anything. That's why I took three shots. I couldn't. It was.
And it explains the conspiracy in an interesting reverse way because it's like, hey, there is a conspiracy, but it's only a conspiracy of silence to cover up incompetence. Like, there wasn't this giant machination to set it up. But, you know, it's like, well, we just don't want people to know this blunder.
Yeah, the guy's got family, for God's sake.
You know, right.
He's already, you know, he's essentially, and I think this is going to bring up a character that's been in every podcast so far. He's essentially the could be the Steve Bartman of the Kennedy administration.
The Steve Perfect. Oh, old Bartman always comes back up.
Probably nothing more than a hardcore Kennedy fan that just wasn't paying enough attention.
Yeah, kind of the Inspector Clouseau of Secret Service agents or something like that.
He had his earpiece in. He was listening to
– Yeah, it was
broadcast, you know, for the Secret Service agents. They fed the broadcast into the earpieces so they could all hear themselves making history. And
so we realized that we thought it might be involving Marx in some way, but just didn't realize it was one of the brothers. Duck suit too, but you know it makes perfect sense as a cover up because you can imagine it makes sense. You know, when we were engaged in the Cold War and is like, who gets to the moon and into space first, and all these things had such import. What would have made us look worse than to say like, hey, we accidentally killed our guy?
Yeah,
you'd lose more face than Kennedy. Boom,
yeah,
there you go.
too much booze and hookers for the Secret Service the night before. It's,
right.
It's not really their fault. It's the hospitality of Dallas.
Right. So do you have do you have one, like, if you could have one mystery solved? You know, do you have one that you would, if you only got one, do you have one that you would ask about? Would it be Kennedy?
No, I actually don't. I don't really have any pet mysteries. And always, you know, it's always been with Kennedy, is the amount of people that would be required for a cover up of that scale.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed so enormous. And again, how my excuse covers that is that they're all government employees. They don't want to. They're going to be quiet on one of their own.
Right. Yeah, it makes more sense, like, as a conspiracy of silence, as opposed to, you know, and you would have to have fewer people in the loop if it was just a piece of information you were suppressing, as opposed to, you know, a thing you set up and orchestrated, which would take a lot more planning.
Right, right. And not to mention, okay, it's, I am sure that what really happened to Kennedy, we already know. But there are just so many right now that who can tell you what the real one is? It's like it's kind of like that Simpsons episode where it was a South Park where they're all dead in front of the God. And they, well, what is the true religion? And God goes, Mormons. The correct answer was Mormon.
Yeah. And they're all like, what?
And the correct answer is we're out of time.
Yeah. On to segment three.
Bye. And you're listening to The Rule of Three. And the big story of the week, Brian, I think has to be the blimp story.
I heard just a little bit about the blimp story.
Now, in case you're listening to this after it left the news cycle, an unmanned Army surveillance blimp broke loose from its mooring in Maryland.
An enraged blimp broke free from its restraints like King Kong and stormed the countryside.
The blimp broke from a mooring in Maryland and floated over Pennsylvania for hours on Wednesday with two fighter jets on its tail, triggering blackouts across the countryside as it dragged its tether across power lines, which is kind of like Godzilla in its tail, is the image there for
sure,
me.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Is imagining this blimp just going across Pennsylvania and just sparks as every time that wire.
It's got a bit of a Rodan kind of. Rodan was the big turtle, right? That kind of flies. I bet it looked like Rodan floating.
Oh, you know, I don't know my Japanese monster. I know Mothra only because obviously a moth.
Yes, Mothra is the easiest one, definitely, to remember. It's either Ghidorah or Rodan. I'm only half versed on my kaiju.
And it's, you know, those were the days of science fiction films when special effects were rubber costumes on sumo wrestlers.
Absolutely.
Hey, did you know this, by the way, that there actually is a wrestling league? Where the wrestlers actually dress up like Japanese monsters,
and that's perfect.
And the ring is full of cardboard buildings.
Oh, that's so cool!
I don't know where I found that or who hepped me up to it, but an evening, I would say a good 6 hours of my life was lost in. And what's really funny, until we brought it up right now, I had entirely forgotten that I was watching that for a while.
Your brain did it protectively because it knew that's all you would do if you remembered it.
And I can't understand why that isn't bigger.
That's awesome. I love that idea.
You know, that's one of those things like roller derby that you really think should be a much bigger event than actually is, rather than a cult sort of thing.
Yeah, it's like pretty girls and violence. How is this not America's favorite sport? That's, yeah.
Back to the blimp. It was fitted with sensitive device defense technology. It was radar equipped. It escaped from the Aberdeen Proving Ground around 12:20 p.m., climbing to 16,000 feet. That's 5 miles for those of you who can't do math, and covered 150 miles over 3.5 hours.
Ooh, a thrilling high-speed chase.
yeah. It's kind of like the O.J. Simpson chase. Right. Chase only it's from the ground.
Yeah, it was like O.J. Simpson meets Balloon Boy. You put them together, and you get this story.
Or what was that? What was that? A Real Hero 6? Is that right? Did I...
Oh, Big Hero 6.
Big
yeah.
Hero 6.
I like that movie. That was a cute movie.
Did not see it.
Yeah, it's nice.
You know, and I think the reason why a lot of people did, I think the reason why the film did not do that well is everyone said, you know, I didn't see 1 through 5.
No, I agree. I actually, just for a second, I was like, is this some kids movie? I've completely escaped.
Exactly. I think a lot of people, you know, it was a real bad choice of a title because anytime any franchise gets up to 6, it's unwatchable.
Except, you're right, with one exception, Fast and the Furious. Those movies get better with age. Those are the fine wine of movies about dumb guys driving cars.
Wow. I did not get past 2, I think, on that
one. Oh, they don't even start getting watchable until 4. You can get 5. And 6 and 7 are just super fun. I'm a huge fan of 5 and 7 especially. Improbable, as that may seem. Maybe in the new Fast and the Furious movie, they'll ride a runaway NORAD balloon for a little while. Maybe that'll be the big thing, because they'll just slowly float over Pittsburgh.
Anyway, back to the blimp. The irony of this is that it appears to have landed in Amish country.
Oh, this would be like their Roswell.
So it actually kind of makes you suspicious that maybe somehow the Amish hacked into the balloon. It's because what did it do before it got there? It took out electricity over half of Pennsylvania.
Oh, they were the only ones impervious to the balloon. They were the only ones who could stop it.
They were able to take it down because everyone else is my phone stopped working.
They're like, well, our barn's still working just fine.
$175 million. That's what this thing was. And I don't know if you saw the thing. It doesn't look real.
No, it does. It looks like a jellyfish with mechanical components or something. It's very strange.
Looks like something you'd rent at those places that rent the bouncy houses.
Yeah, that's a good description.
It definitely looks like, yeah, you could get it alongside the giant inflatable union rat.
Yeah.
I actually had a buddy that owned one of those stores.
Huh.
That rented the rat.
Did he rent other giant, did he rent like the giant inexplicable, the inflatable gorilla that they would put on top of used car dealerships?
Yeah, he does it all and probably even has the bendy man. Bending man.
Yeah.
And then, you know, of course he's got the castles and the slip and slide, but, he told me the funniest day was when he fired, a couple employees who were trying to unionize.
How do you protest? You can't.
He actually rented a rat to his former employees. He could not resist the irony of it.
Man, that is that is some circular Marxism right there. That is I don't even know. That's incredible.
And I think he probably said, you know, I'll even give you a discount if underneath this is an anti-union shop, you put, you can rent this here.
You know,
it was supposed to be top secret too. That's the thing. We weren't supposed to know that the military had that thing.
That they had balloon technology.
Yeah. Well, inside the balloon, and maybe it's just camouflage, or maybe it's just government ineptitude. Inside that unassuming blimp profile. Apparently, real high tech equipment that can detect cruise missiles, ICBMs.
Oh wow!
That's basically what that was for, was in case of aggression coming across, you know, too low for conventional radar to see.
Oh, hence the NORAD connection, because I was heard it was a NORAD blimp.
Yeah.
Oh, that does make sense.
Yeah, and so it's really funny to me that it's a secret no more.
Yeah, kind of like, what was the other secret thing that they accidentally revealed recently? Oh, there was another big one where they were just like, oops, our bad, we released some files that we weren't supposed to. You all
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's all the time. But this was like, and the weird thing is, when you say, what do you think NORAD is working on right now? You picture like flying saucers, or teleportation, or lasers that you can put on your backpack that can actually take out a battleship. you imagine all this wonderful Star Wars high tech gadgetry, and instead it's a funflatable.
Yeah, I just picture a guy who looks like Randy Quaid saying, "You know, we put some stuff in that balloon." All these guys going, yeah, Carl's right.
And no passengers apparently.
Ah, so not unlike Balloon Boy, or so the government would like you to believe.
Yeah, there was actually a guy that kept trying to climb down the tether, that it would hit some more power lines and like, yow!
You know, that's the, I think we've written a screenplay, though. There's a runaway balloon, there's an electrical thing, and everyone in the country's affected, their phones are down, everyone's defenseless, but only the Amish can save us, because they've called, they don't need electricity, you know? They're not infected by the electronic virus. The ironic thing, if you made that movie, is it probably wouldn't sell very well because the people who would be most interested in it aren't allowed to go see it.
Well, maybe you could make a kinescope version of it.
A very circumspect stage play or something like that.
some put it in a book that you can flip the pages.
That's the devil's work, the moving ink.
And that's the rule of three. I'm Tim Slagle. You can catch me at www.timslagle.com. Still doing the W's.
I'm with you. You can catch me. I got W's too. www.brianmillercomedy.com, Brian with a Y, and bmillercomedy on Twitter.
And hopefully we'll have this up by next week.
Yeah, we'll see you next time.